Hi there, welcome to another episode of Tech Empowered. This is a podcast where we share real stories of people whose lives have been transformed by technology across Africa and beyond. This podcast is brought to you by Tech for Dev. Tech for Dev is a non-profit organization creating opportunities for economic prosperity through digital skills empowerment and advocacy. I am your host, Yemisi, and I'm glad to have you join us today. On each episode, we go beyond the headlines. We share the real, honest stories of people who have dared to grow, to switch lanes, and to pursue what once seemed out of reach, all through the power of technology. You know, sometimes the starting point isn't always about passion. I mean, passion is great, but sometimes it's just a simple desire for more. Maybe more growth, more opportunity, and yes, sometimes more money. And that's perfectly valid. Our guest today, Modina Tganiu, is a Women Techstars alumna, and we're going to be hearing her story, how she transitioned from being a teacher into the world of data analysis. And this transition, of course, didn't come easy for Modina. There were moments of waiting. But you know what? Let's not give too much away, right? I would like you to meet Modina. So settle in. Let's get into the conversation for today. Hi, Modina. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So let's get right into the conversation. So let's start by meeting you. Can you tell us about yourself? Who is Modina? What gets you excited? What makes you tick?
Okay, so I'm Modina Tganiu. I'm a graduate of Business Administration from University of Ilorin. I'm one of the beneficiaries of Tech for Dev, and I'm a data analyst. What gets me excited is seeing how my work makes impact, you know, watching the positive impact of my insight. You know, there's a difference between presenting insights to your audience and, on the other hand, presenting the insights to the audience that engages and convinces them. It makes me happy, you know. There's this kind of joy I feel when I present my insight from the analysis that engages and convinces these stakeholders. And the fact that my problem-solving skills also increases daily on daily basis, day by day, gives me joy. And there are lots more, but I think those top the list.
Interesting. Thank you for sharing. So when you're not working, because, I mean, this thing that gets you excited now is work-related, right? So when you're not working, what do you do for fun? How do you relax? How do you unwind?
Okay. I can say good sleep, one, good sleep. Having good sleep, taking breaks, going out. I love hanging out with friends because it takes me out of the work environment. I think outside work and I feel relaxed. So I go out, I love outing, I love speaking with my friends, and I love hang out with family as well. So outside work, I love hang out, in short.
Interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay, so since you said a career as a teacher, what was the moment when you decided that you wanted to do something else? Like when you decided that you needed more, what was that moment like for you?
Okay, teaching has always been one of my strengths. Yes, I love teaching. I love teaching, but then we all know the income of a school teacher is not enough to cater for our basic needs, right? To live a comfortable life, you need much more, especially when the inflation is on the rise. And I started making research on, what next to do? I can't continue teaching and earning this sort of income, you know? So I started making my research, and gradually I grew interest in tech. So that was how I decided I need something more.
So you were researching, right? And what made data analysis stand out for you? What made you believe that you could actually do data analysis?
Good question. I've been a teacher for some years, and just like I said, I thought I couldn't continue like that. And I needed to transition, but the field to transition into wasn't clear, right? Mm. So I started researching and I learned that what we feed our eyes with, what we watch, the friends we hang out with, the family or the people we spend our times with, all influence us in becoming who we are. So immediately I learned that, I started acting on that. So I started on social media. I follow so many people. I as well followed people I would love to become, you know, successful mm-hmm. people. Yes. So I also started watching intelligent shows, listening to intelligent shows, especially meant for women, like competitions and all of that. So as soon as I started changing this, my lifestyle also started changing and I started thinking differently. So I started growing interest in tech through all this, and my first course online was when I started growing interest in tech was data entry course. And it wasn't even long after learning this course before I transitioned into data analytics, because I knew there was still so much more than becoming someone's virtual assistant. So that was how I transitioned into data, and data became my thing.
Interesting. You know, something that struck me, what you just said, is how, you know, the kind of things we surround ourselves with, what we expose our minds to in terms of what we see or what we read or what we listen to, sort of shapes our mindset about stuff, about our lives in general and how to approach things. That's actually very profound. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so how did that whole transition happen? You know, learning something new can feel overwhelming. So what did that upskilling look like for you? How were you able to balance learning, self-learning, the MentExcellence program and your everyday life?
Yeah, it was very challenging and tasky. I wouldn't even lie. Especially when I was just starting out. So I'll give you a practical example of what I faced in my office. So my manager already knows my strength. He knows my skill sets. But I was still given a data engineering task. I was like, okay. But I don't have any idea of how to even use this tool. And I was given a tight deadline, honestly. I told my colleague and he encouraged me that if I know Python, then I can transfer that knowledge to most C#. C# is software that I don't even know anything about. So doing these tasks was so stressful. I walked around the clock. Did I get it done? Yes. Was it challenging? Very, very. And did I even meet up with the deadline? Yes. But then I did it. I did it well. So the task can be very overwhelming, just like you said. Can be very tasking and challenging. But I just find myself pushing. I keep pushing anyway.
Interesting. Thanks for sharing that. So were you still working as a teacher when you first started learning data analysis? At what point did you join the Women Texas program?
I resigned when I realized I needed to transition. I had to just stop teaching because I can't continue teaching with that sort of income. So I resigned even without seeing the clear path of the transitioning. So I resigned and I started my tech career fully with no distraction, just family, you know. So when my Texas Fellowship Program form was out, I had to put in all my best because, you know, I'm in for it. And when I set my mind to do something, I put it everything in me to make sure it worked out. So that was it.
Interesting. Okay, so can you walk us through how you got your first tech job? How long did you search? You know how you apply for different roles and all of that. Were there any rejections along the way? What was that process like for you?
Lots of rejections, lots of rejections. So I started applying very early, right after I got into Mentor Stars program. And I said, I started my tech career by taking data entry course online. So I have a bit of experience in the data field. So Women Tech Stars program just like expanded my tech skills and everything. So it wasn't long when I got into it, I started applying. I didn't wait, before I started applying. So I applied very early. So when I started applying, I also put much effort in visibility, posting my projects on LinkedIn, being visible on LinkedIn, you know, just post and make sure that people know that I'm into the data analytics field and the project, the challenges I face, I make sure that I keep posting. Then for this job, I researched, there's a strategy I learned along the way when I was still very active on LinkedIn. And the strategy helped me to get this job. And the strategy is I had to research about organizations. I researched about not all, but specifically organizations I would like to work for as a data analyst. So what I do is I started by connecting with top officials like the CEO, the CFO, the HR, and few people in the data department. Yes, those are the people I connected with. Then after that, I make sure that I have lots of details about these people and their organization. First about the organization, then these people. So that we can flow in our communication, I'll say the right words, I'll say the words they would love to hear, you know, speak in their languages, all of that. So after connecting with these people, I send code messages, and these code messages, the intro would be to thank them for connecting with me, and that's one. Then I also thank them for appreciate their work, how they contribute to achieving the mission of the organization, because I already researched about them in person, right? So I know what they do. I know the work or the impact in that organization, or their impact in the organization. So then I apologize for taking their time. If the message came at the wrong time, if the message came at a busy time, then I try to sell myself in this message, trying to tell them the values I'll be bringing to the table, how I stand out, how they can consider me, what I'll be bringing differently from other data analysts, you know. So these are all enclosed in this message. I try to make it as short as possible. So I send this message, but very few, I can say very few people did not reply to this message, but most of them replied. And I mean, people are very kind. I can say that with all my heart. People are, some, even if they don't have this opportunity within their meet or within their network, they will even recommend me to another organization or send me another opportunity that I can apply for or I fit in. Some even go as far to tell their HR that, oh, they have someone in this, but just this job worked out for me. Some, I might just say, oh, this is data engineering, but doesn't fit in my, or I will not even consider the work, you know. So I just add to this particular one, I considered it because it fit my skill set. So I think that is how I got my first tech job.
Interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, there was a lot of strategy involved, you know, mapping out who are the stakeholders in these industries or these organizations I want to work with. You reached out to them, you sent old messages, and you know, it's very interesting how, you know, from even when you started talking about how you decided to, you know, make the change, I could see that you are a very strategic person, right? You look at things strategically. Oh, what are the things I need to change? You first of all look at things that you need to change when you were trying to search for new opportunities, and then even when you had the skills, you're already looking out for what are these, how can I strategically position myself, you know, to look attractive to like potential employers. And, you know, very commendable. Well done. Well done. Very commendable. Okay, so I mean, how did you stay motivated and keep showing up even, you know, when things were uncertain?
I take breaks. If I'm stuck or if I need to stay motivated, I take break. Well, I do what makes me happy. You will say I do. This is my second time of saying this. Sleep is very important to me because I feel like
sleep is important.
I feel like once I have a good sleep, I feel refreshed to face a challenge. You know, my mindset. I'll have a new direction on my mindset. Mm. You know, I will confront that challenge with a refreshed mind. So taking a good sleep is, it can even be for 2 days. Not that I will not attempt to do any task, but I might take that break within that short period. And when I'm fully back to face or to tackle that challenge, and I'm going to tackle it right. So that was keep me motivated. I take break so that I will not shut down, I will not be affected mentally, you know. It will not affect me and my family. So I'll just take break and also do what makes me happy. So these are a few things that I do that help me stay motivated.
Interesting. I mean, sleep is important. I totally agree with you. Okay, so looking at yourself now, what's something that you have maybe discovered or built in recent times that didn't exist a few years ago?
Confidence. I can't overemphasize on this confidence, because over the years, on daily basis, you know, when you take little steps, it accumulates over time. So I realized that is the steps I took on daily basis and I'm still taking that has taking me to this level I am today. So the confidence level, or my confidence level, has significantly improved over the years. My communication skills, interpersonal relationship with people, even with strangers. Before, I don't even know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I'll feel, if I say this, I'll be looking for the perfect sentence, the perfect way to put it down. Now, I can confidently express myself. I can articulate my ideas. I can, you know, easily discuss ideas or topics with my colleagues, with people, strangers, team members, whoever. So my confidence has significantly improved over the years. So that's one thing I can say I've built on over the years.
Fantastic. I mean, self-confidence is very, very important at whatever level we find ourselves. So that's really great to hear. So for someone out there who is listening, maybe they're stuck in a particular job that they feel they've outgrown, or they're looking for something more, what's one thing you will tell them about starting over or maybe choosing a different path?
For someone who have outgrown their job, well, for me, I think it's a good thing because you already have experience, right? You are not, it's not like you are not doing anything. You have experience in that field. It's just like you want to start all over again, or you want to choose a different path. It's a good thing. These days, experience are transferable. You can transfer that knowledge, the experience you have in that field, to another field. There is no knowledge that is lost. So for that person, the person just needs courage. Yes, I'll say courage. The person needs to have the courage to say, okay, I want something more, you know. And it's never too late, because even me, I usually say, oh, it's too late to do this. But it's never too late. Anytime you wake up, it's your morning. It's never too late. So if that person has realized that, oh, I want to change my career path, or I want to start over again, it's just courage the person needs, right? The courage to start again. And the person should also admit that it's not a sin, it's not a bad thing, and the person should just keep pushing. So in essence, courage to admit that he or she wants something more, and it's never too late. Of course, it's even a good thing, you know, it's a good thing because you already have experience. The bad thing is now that you want to quit or stay stagnant, you don't want to move to another field. It's not even something what's saying, I'm shy to say. It's a good thing as far as I'm concerned. It's a good thing. It's not that you are quitting, you are not staying stagnant. You just need to transfer that working experience you have in that field, this new field you'll be transitioning into.
Interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that, Madinat.
Thank you.
I like what you said about, you know, courage and just doing what you want to do and going for it, and the fact that you said it's never too late. I am a firm believer in the fact that anytime you wake up is your morning. So if you have decided that, oh, today I need to make a change, just figure out what you need to do to actually make that happen and then go for it. Thank you so much, Madinat, for sharing your journey with us.
Thank you so much.
What I love about Madinat's story is how it's not just about the fact that she switched careers or she made a change and moved from one field to the other. It's about the courage, you know, to go after what you truly need. And that shows like growth and stability. And I liked how strategic she was when she wanted to make that switch, how she started to look at where she was at that time, figure out, okay, what are things I need to change? This is the picture I have, you know, how you they will say have a vision and then look at what you need to do to get there. You know, this is like a prime example of that. You know, she had the vision of what she wanted and she said to make changes to fit so that she can get ready for that place she's going, right? Which is really, really profound. And you know, sometimes we wait for the perfect moment, you know, the perfect motivation, but growth begins the moment you decide to try. So it's not always going to be perfect, but the little steps we make every day, when you make those small steps, it takes you a bit closer to the vision and the picture that you have in your mind. So if you're listening to us today, what's the next small step you can take towards your growth? Yeah. If you have a picture in mind, what's the next step you can take? Maybe this is your sign to actually do that. So that brings us to the end of our episode today. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, share with someone. You know, share with your friends, share with your enemies, share with your colleagues. Because you never know, someone out there might need to hear this. Until next time, I remain your humble host, Yemisi, and bye for now.